Jesus, we are forgetting the things which are behind and pressing forward to the goal which you are, Lord.
Amen.
As Spirit, he speaks through his word. Till my heart in echo is singing.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your tenderness.
Amen.
Lord, in dealing with us.
Amen.
Stay with joy in your presence.
Amen.
Continue with 497.
And he saturates and supplies my soul with all his precious essence.
Amen.
497.
Praise in its highest definition is God in the sense of joy by us.
Deep in the pure
your grace.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that deep is calling unto deep.
Señor, gracias que podemos hablar en lo profundo. Hoy, Espíritu, hoy brota un manantial, el triunfo Dios, fluyendo esta.
Sister. maybe two or three could take the lead to pray for this session. As our brother said before, both for the release of the word and for the receiving of the word. Amen. Just feel free, two or three. Amen.
Lord, it's your word.
Amen.
The release of the word.
Amen.
And the receiving of the word.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. You are here with us.
Gracias, Señor, que estás aquí con nosotros. Oh, alabamos tu presencia.
Amen.
Pray
for all the saints.
Oramos por todos los santos.
Pray for our heart, Lord.
Oh, nos tornamos a ti. Gracias por tu sangre prevaleciente.
Lord, we'd like to hear your calling.
Amen.
Calling us to the holiest place, Lord.
Yes.
Join our ears, open our ears.
Amen.
Give us an ear to hear, Lord.
Amen.
Lay down our soul life, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, with all its occupations and preoccupations, Lord.
Amen.
Just open to you to receive your speaking, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. This is the third session, but we are still on this first outline. The outline for sessions 1 and 2. It's not looking very promising right now. I think we're only in 2B1. Is this okay? I think it might be. No, I mean the sound. It might be a little. Is it? Might be a little bit. I don't know if the brothers could bring it down just a little bit. Usually, I don't like for the saints in the audience, especially young people, to have a feeling like, oh, I know what, you know, whenever you hear any message, oh, I know what the brother's going to say. But I'm going to start my message with a certain sentence, and I hope you know what I'm going to say. Saints, God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day. Amen. Moment. Some have been awake. It's very good. Yeah. Amen. We continue. And we're again in Roman 2. B, we're in this point, saints. The overall burden, of course, is God's dispensing for God's economy in our daily life, in my daily life. And this particular outline is primarily based on this one verse, just one verse, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. We talked about the significance of that last night, not this morning, that this was the final speaking to the Corinthian believers. I think it's very significant because this church is very particular in the context of the whole New Testament. Of course, eventually you find out every local church had some problems. And that in itself, to me, I remember, became a great comfort when I was already in the church life for a few years, and some problems surfaced. It was a confusing time for many of us. We had never gone through anything like that before. I questioned, well, what happened to my paradise of the church life? I told you during that period of time, our brother who was shepherding the churches, you know, I'm talking about Brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee. It's very interesting. At that time, he never mentioned the problems. He never talked about the problems directly, at least from what I can recall. he just ministered Christ. And encouraging us. I think I told you last night, you know, we just sang this song, Abide, You're a Branch in the Vine. He encouraged us so much about abiding, and then gave us these three practical hints. Number one, everyone. It wasn't in every message, but my impression was he emphasized this over and over in many of these places. Three things that saved us. Number one, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Number two, confess your sins. Number three, have personal time with the Lord every morning, whatever you call it. In those days, we mostly say morning watch. I still say morning watch. I hope you don't mind. Morning revival. Personal time. We used to call it private time. We used to call it devotionals when I was in the denomination. I don't care what you call it, as long as you have it. Those three things, so basic, when I look back, I think that was a great part of the Lord's rescuing us out of that situation. Although we suffered a lot of loss among us. Actually, during that period of time, I was recently speaking with some brothers. I realized so many brothers my age were taken away. We were teenagers, early 20s. And the brothers in my age period, just many have carried away. So many of the brothers that I coordinate with are either a little older than I am or younger than I am. And so that was a great, turned out to be a loss. But how did the Lord sustain us who remained? Surely it's his mercy. Firstly, it's his mercy. Everything is his mercy. But practically how? I tell you, had a lot to do with read the Bible, confess your sins, have personal time. That became, through that, the word became real, became our anchor. And so when I see this verse, that point B, which is kind of governing these points, one and two, Deuteronomy 30:19. Please pay attention to the last part. You know, choose life, then it says, in loving Jehovah, your God, by listening to his voice. Loving by listening. Which means we love God by having a relationship with his word, by being open to his word. And that means for us, in a practical way, twofold. Read the Bible, and then be open to the Lord's inner speaking on the spot. But I tell you, if you don't read the Bible, you can't sustain that inner speaking. You need a storehouse. You need to give the Holy Spirit language to work with so that he can speak to you. And the more you read, whether you understand or not, the more you read, things are stored in your being. And the Spirit can speak. So, during that, let me continue reading. And holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. That was hard to believe. That was, what, 50 years ago, almost. That was 50 years ago. And we're still here. I saw Brother Tom before. We were housemates at one time there in Irvine. I told him, Brother Tom, we're still here. That's a miracle. We're still here. Why are we still here? And then there's others who are not. Were we stronger? Were we better? No, absolutely not. But it's the Lord's mercy on one hand. On the other hand, love Jehovah by listening to his voice. I said amen to our brother's shepherding words, and I got into the word. I had begun the habit when I was a teenager of reading the Bible every day. And then things happened, and I lost the habit. During that period of time, started again. Actually, I don't know if you remember this, Tom, but we were still together before you and Bob moved out, and we had a pact where six of us living together. There was a couple, dear couple, with four single brothers in the brother's house, and we decided. I don't know if it was a corporate idea or, you know, Brother Godfrey was the one who suggested, but we thought, let's read the New Testament first. And actually, I think this is a very, very a good way to start reading the Bible. Instead of reading old and new, read the New Testament one time through first. And so we decided we would read four chapters a day. And if you do that, you finish in 3 months. And so we didn't sit down and read together, right? But everybody was supposed to read. Now, Matthew, first book, has 28 chapters. So if you read four chapters a day, you knock off Matthew in the first week, right? Okay, so we didn't sit down and read together, but a couple of times a week, we actually had dinner together. And then we would, you know, I enjoyed this, I enjoyed that, you know, like this, so spontaneous. And since we were having dinner together, if you had not read, it was an incentive to catch up. So those were, a little accountability helps. So a little behind, so that I know, you know, so they wouldn't be able to tell that I slacked off, you know. So I was the second youngest of the group, so I didn't want to mess up. And so, just in the word together. And that did something. And that's why, saints, today, he has become the length of my days. That I could still be here. But it has to do with loving Jehovah and his word. That, you know, in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3. This is the flip side, or the companion to this verse. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves means you take the initiative. But Thessalonians says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Right? So we can pray both. Lord, strengthen me to keep myself in your love. But Lord, please, don't wait for me or depend on me. Direct my heart into your love. But the verse continues. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the endurance of Christ. Actually, the love of God becomes the endurance of Christ in our experience through this verse. If you're loving Jehovah and listening to his voice, eventually you endure. You endure many things. And at the end, you're just still standing. You're just still here. That's overcoming. Overcoming is not being so powerful. Overcoming is just sticking around. You're still standing at the end. You know, that's Ephesians 6. And having done all, to stand. Are you still standing? It doesn't mean are you so strong? Do you have all these stories of overcoming? No, but I'm still here. That means something. Praise the Lord. That's the endurance of Christ. We need this. So these verses, I'm still at point one. I'm going to read it again. These verses reveal that the way to choose life is to love the Lord. The way to love the Lord is to listen to his voice and hold fast to him. So we have these few verses here. Revelation 2:4. But I have this, you know this. I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. I mentioned earlier that the enemy's attack is always on our love and our faith. Because they're connected. You know, they appear. Faith and love very often are mentioned together in the New Testament. Faith and love. Faith and love. And if he can weaken your love, your faith gets weakened automatically. So the enemy, I told you that verse in Matthew 24. Because lawlessness is multiplied, the love of the many grows cold. Grows cold. Please notice how it says. It doesn't say gets cold, becomes cold. It grows cold. It's growing, but in a negative way. That's why King James says wax cold, which, you know, it's like melting away. Melting away. It's usually not, oh, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Next day, I just don't love the Lord. It's not that way. It's little by little. By Satan's relentless attack. And sending, according to Ephesians chapter 6, fiery darts of doubts, day after day after day. You can't make it. God doesn't love you. The saints don't love you. You're so bad. And day after day after day, all these lies, all these accusations, and it accumulates. Unless you know how to apply the blood and give the word of your testimony, the way it says in Revelation. You can learn this. You can just, it doesn't mean that the darts don't still come, but you can just knock, no, that doesn't work here. Just go find somebody else. But not here, not that. You gotta find something new. You gotta find something new. He doesn't find something new because the old thing still works. Exactly the way he caused Eve and Adam to fall. He does the same to us because it still works. Saints, don't let it still work.
Right, right.
They overcame him.
Amen.
Because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And because of the word of their testimony. We have to practice that. We have to practice that. Okay. Matthew 24, 12. The love of the many grows cold. If you have the recovery version of the New Testament, for this verse, there's a cross-reference, not a footnote, a cross-reference from the love grows cold. You know what the cross-reference is? Revelation 2:4, which is this verse. That is, you've left your first love. Do you see how that happens personally, but it also happens to the church? The degradation of the church, according to the history of Revelation 2 and 3, with the seven localities, the seven churches, which is a prefigure of church history, shows us that the first attack on the church is on love. Losing the first love begins the degradation. That's as a church, and that's personally. And that could be every day, and that could be hour to hour. So how does the Lord recover the first love? He speaks to the church in Ephesus to say, I have this against you. Do you realize the Lord was there speaking to the church, then saying, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So if you open to the speaking, what happens? You get your first love recovered. And not only that, you get the tree of life. Right? That's the prize to Ephesus. And not only that, you don't get the lampstand removed. So you get love, you get life, and you get light. By what? By listening to his voice. The Lord, so church after church, you know, those seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, five of them, negative situations. Smyrna, you can't say negative about Smyrna, but still, they needed overcomers, right? There was a cry to overcomers. Philadelphia, not a negative situation. I mean, among them, but there was attacks. You need overcomers. Church after church. When you're in degradation, the Lord doesn't leave you to yourself. He comes to speak. Do you see that? Our thought is, oh, I'm done. I'm so bad. The Lord abandons me. lies, lies. Lies from the enemy, and those are accusatory thoughts. Because that's saying, God doesn't love you anymore because you are too bad. Look at Revelation. Thyatira. If I was the Lord, that's Thyatira. I said, okay, skip this one. Let's move on to Sardis. But no, the Lord spoke to Thyatira. His word, trying to recover. Is it Thyatira? Could you confirm this to me? Is it Thyatira? Pergamos. Pergamos, the worldly church. The overcomers get what? The hidden manna. A white stone. With a new name written nobody knows. You say, Pergamos, so worldly. Sometimes the enemy will say, you're so worldly. Especially the young ones. Ah, oh, you're too worldly. Lord doesn't love you. You may have a thought, oh, the saints don't think the same as me. I'm too worldly. The Lord doesn't give up on Pergamos. He speaks to Pergamos. His speaking is his salvation. Just be open a little bit to the dispensing in the speaking. And what do you get? Hidden manna and a white stone. You become New Jerusalem. He never gives up. He speaks. He speaks to church after church. We also have here Song of Songs 3:4. It says, scarcely had I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let go. Don't we have a song? I held him and would not let go. Jesus. Okay, no time. Hold him. Sing the song after the meeting. That's a good way to keep yourself in the love of God. You know, singing is a good way. Singing is a good way to enter into and keep ourselves in the love, the grace, and the fellowship. I held him and would not let go. That always reminds me of Jacob. You know Jacob? Jacob the conniver. But he's there, always plotting. You know, in those chapters, that's when he's heading back and plotting how not to get killed by Esau. You know, remembering everything that he did before. And he didn't know that God was just going to protect him. He just didn't have faith. And he's there in his anxiety overnight, thinking what to do. You know, you know how he sends gifts? And then he sent, you know, the wives and the children, you know, and like, you know, but that's terrible. He's just conniving. And then he's at the back. And then a man appears to him. And then they're wrestling all night. And he's winning. He's prevailing. And so at a certain point, he must have realized this is the Lord. I don't know exactly when. I don't know how long, how many minutes or hours, it doesn't say. But he says, the Lord says, let me go. Can you imagine? If the Lord said, let me go, would you say, amen, Lord? That's the one time you say, no. No, amen. It's the only time you're allowed to say no. What did Jacob say? I will not let you go until you bless me. Oh, that is a good way to keep yourself in the love of God. I will not. Why did he say unless you bless me? He realized this is the Lord hiding in this situation. You know, our situations come upon us at night when we're not expecting, and they ambush us. The day before I got here, came. The Lord came in a situation. I got ambushed. But I tell you, I realized it didn't take long because I have experience to let me know. Okay, Lord, here you are again. Bless me. Bless me and bless those around me. I want your blessing. I don't want to let go of this situation and not get the blessing. That would be a waste. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You know, that's when he says, what's your name? He says, how is it you ask me my name? Then, what's your name? And they have this exchange. He says, that's where he changes his name to Israel. Right? The Prince of God can also be the wrestler of God. Won't let you go. Oh, that's a good attitude. Lord, I won't let you go until you bless me. Yeah. But do you realize as they're in this back and forth, God is speaking. Do you see his blessing is his speaking? You're no longer Jacob, you're Israel. So the Lord is speaking. The Lord is speaking. His speaking is his blessing. His speaking is his dispensing. In picture, in form, right, in type. Open in the struggle. As long as you're struggling with him face to face, not running away. I think what I described to you before, pounding the pillow, 15-year-old boy. I was wrestling. And he just infuses you with love. Song of Songs 8, 13, and 14. And you who dwell in the gardens, my companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. Make haste, my beloved. You know, this is about the Lord's coming. We even have a song, right? We have a few hymns on this point about the Lord's coming with the words from Song of Songs. Make haste, my beloved. And be like a gazelle or a young hart upon the mountain of spices. And we're calling the Lord to come. Do you realize? Calling the Lord to come in the midst of that is, my companions, listen for your voice. Let me hear it. Saints, listening for his voice is the way to prepare for his coming. His voice. And it starts with his word. It starts with his word. Okay, point two. Acts 11:23 reveals how we can hold fast to him. When Barnabas went to Antioch, he encouraged them all to remain in the Lord with purpose of heart. To hold fast to the Lord is to remain with the Lord and with purpose of heart. This is to be persistently faithful to the Lord, to cleave to him, and to live in close fellowship with him. So may we all cleave to him. Okay, now saints, the rest of these points from C to, I think it's G or H, G, they take a certain turn. And it's very, to me, it's interesting, but very practical. And the point here is that when we love the Lord, we're beholding and reflecting him. We become him. You know, we have a hymn. Actually, it's the oldest hymn written in our hymn book. I think in the 3rd century it was written. One line goes like this. Whate'er thou lovest, man, that to become thou must. God, if thou lovest God, dust, if thou lovest dust. That hymn says, whatever you love, you become. Remember our example with the blue? Whatever you're attached to, whatever you love, you just become that. So he's blue, I spend time with him, now I'm blue. That's how it is with the Lord. So, practically, the more we love the Lord, the more we will express the Lord's human living. That's what this is about, his humanity. We will have the proper humanity. If you're in the Lord's dispensing, there is an automatic issue. You become more Jesusly human. And if you don't, then we have a question, actually. How much time are you spending with the Lord? Okay, let's get these points. See, as we love the Lord Jesus, we become the same as he is in his divinely enriched humanity. The bountiful God in his rich attributes is expressed through our aromatic, Jesusly human virtues. These Jesusly human virtues include extraordinary love, boundless forbearance, unparalleled faithfulness, absolute humility, utmost purity, supreme holiness and righteousness, and brightness and uprightness. These virtues describe the actual life of Jesus as recorded in the four Gospels, which is now our indwelling life for us to experience, enjoy, and express. Every one of these 7 points, I read it and I say, nope. Extraordinary love. No, not me. Boundless forbearance. No. Unparalleled faithfulness. I can be a little faithful at times. Unparalleled. Absolute humility. I am proud of my humility. And on and on and on. Utmost purity. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not this one. It's just not me. What do I need to do? I need to cleave to him. I need to love Jehovah, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. As he dispenses himself to me, little by little, this comes. This comes. Let me tell you a little aside, a little story. I've told some of you, maybe here in this setting, I don't remember. My father was saved. Well, I told you that play thing that I was in because he wasn't saved. Okay. That was December 1970. Okay, December 1970. My father got saved in 1989. Yeah, when I was 31 years old. So it was much later. Much later. And so my dad, you know, brother Dick Taylor, I mentioned him before. Dick and Bonnie, his wife, his dear wife, they were in the same meeting hall in Los Angeles as my sister and brother-in-law back in 19, and well, they were in Eldon Hall and then also in Hall 6, which doesn't exist anymore, North Hollywood in Los Angeles, 1973. So we were in the same meeting hall. I was there 6 weeks that summer. And I told you before, Brother Minuro was there as a single brother in the brother's house and so on. And during that summer, Sister Bonnie and another sister cornered my father and preached the gospel to him. And they wouldn't let him go until he called on the Lord. So he called on the Lord to shut them up. I was there. I was watching. I said, he didn't get saved. He called. He said the words. But I know, no. He didn't mean it. He just was, and then going along, shut him up. And he shut them up, and then we went on. So anyway, I knew, okay, he's not saved yet. Then through the years, so many different people shared the gospel with him. One thing I noticed, he was drawn to the humanity, through the humanity of some of the brothers. I observed it. I just observed it. there was a brother who would come and visit him and just talk about I don't know what. But he liked talking to this brother. And so one day, they were going to take a vacation. The family moved away from New York to Tennessee. And my father got this idea. Hey, let's go on vacation. Hey, let's go to Tennessee and stay with so-and-so. I was like, what? You're going to spend a week with these saints? I said, I mean, amen. But I just, like, where did that come from? Now I look back. I never thought of that before. But it's point D. That brother expressing all these things to him. And actually, another brother he was drawn to was Brother Willie. Willie Weiss. Many of you know Brother Willie. Brother Willie would come and just sit with my dad and just talk about sports. And he went back and forth. This drew him to the Lord. Drew him to the Lord. So anyway, there was a certain time, in 1989, he was, by this time, he was born in 1919, so he was going to be 70 that year, so he was 69 years old still. And he, anyway, he had gotten sick different times and this and that. My mother would be on my case. When are you going to preach the gospel to your father? And she was really like, his blood will be on your hands. I mean, she was laying it on, you know. Anyway, it came a certain time. This was in April of that year, April, beginning of April. I just had a sense. Now's the time. I got to share with Dad. So I was praying about when, how, this, that. And then... those were the days that we would still write letters with ink and pen, you know, with on paper, and mail them. So, do you guys know, some of you, what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, I got a letter from my sister, who was living in Southern California. And she said, I don't know why, I just have a feeling something's going to happen to Dad. It's time. You must please consider to share the gospel with him. And so I was having the same feeling. I didn't tell her. And then so I know this is the Lord confirmation. So I mentioned this to my wife. And we decided a certain day we're going to sit him down. And he would come over every day because he'd come, they live very close by, so they, about 2 miles away. He'd come after dinner. He'd always drive over to our place to play with the three children for about half an hour and then leave. He'd hardly say hello to me. He just came to see the three kids and then go. So I knew, okay, tonight he's coming. Tonight's the night, April 26th. Tonight's the night. So he comes over, plays with kids on his way out. I said, Pop, I used to call him Pop, got to talk to you about something. Can I talk to you? So I come, sit down, my wife there. I saw, this is the gospel. This man had heard the gospel I don't know how many times. So, I didn't have to really explain anything. We caught him watching Billy Graham, you know, the telecast, quite a number of times. So I know he had heard a substantial amount of the gospel, even Sister Bonnie's sharing and so on. So this was my gospel. So I said, Pop, all of us, the four of us, I mean the children, and Mom, the four of us, and our spouses, we will all be together in eternity. But not you. And I didn't have to say any more. He leans across the table, says, no. I will not be saved today. So I didn't use the word saved, but you know what I mean? He had heard already. He said, no, I mean, just. He said, why not? because of your mother. I said, I don't understand. Because mom wants you to be saved. Oh, yeah, no. He says, but if I get saved, your mother will make me read the Bible. She'll make me go to your church meetings. And she'll make me stop going to be with my friends. Because he had a social life. All we were from Puerto Rico in the Caribbean, right? Which is part of the United States. That's, yeah. But it's U.S. Like, you're born there, you're a U.S. citizen. Okay. So in the 50s, to have a better life, my father, it's American dream type stuff. My father immigrated to New York for a better life for these children. So anyway, so many of the people in the 50s, there was a flood of to New York, also to Chicago and Philadelphia. These days they go to Orlando and Texas. Yeah, but in those days it was up north and Midwest. And so there was these groups, social clubs. They just formed these social clubs to have camaraderie and, you know, the friends from the island. They play dominoes and billiards. They'd have tournaments against the clubs. And the New York champion would play the Puerto Rico champion. I mean, it was, you know, it became a big deal. But all the time. There was three times where we get a phone call in the middle of the night that he totaled the car because he was drunk. My mother hated those people. So he was right. My mom would not want him to, okay. But anyway, so your mom would make me blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to do this, you know. Lord, Lord, I'm not gonna let him go, but I don't know. And the Lord just gave me the words. So, okay, Pop, how about this? I and my wife, we're not going to make you read the Bible. We're not going to tell you go to church. We're nothing. And we're certainly not going to tell you about your friends. You pray with us right now, and we will not tell Mom. So he thinks about it a little bit. He says, really? I said, there's no need to tell her. I just want eternal, I want you with us in eternity. You know, okay. Okay, pray with me. Lord Jesus, and like three sentences, Lord Jesus, back and forth. He said, is that it? I said, uh-huh, yeah, okay, and he leaves. And I'm like, oh, I was like, did that, and did it really happen? Did it really happen? You know, I'm pinching. You know, it could be a dream. So, anyway, but I just felt it was genuine. So, kept our promise. We didn't talk about the church, this, that, baptism. I didn't talk about anything. You just let him go. Okay. A year later, they moved in with us to our home. They actually ended up living with us 21 years. And my father, my father lived till the age of 99. Yeah. And he spent time with, most of the time with us, but some time with my sister and a little time with another brother. Yeah. But anyway, he had 30 years, the Lord gave him. So, anyway, then they move in with us. And time's passing by. Nothing about baptism, read the Bible, nothing, meeting. But now, I'm driving my mom to the meetings now, right? Because she lives with us. Yeah. And my mom still. When are you going to preach the gospel? I said, Mom, it'll be okay. He's going to die, you know. You know, and just, you know, he got sick one time. Oh, she was really like, you know. And I had to keep my promise. I didn't say a word. Then these three things happened. One time, we were driving home. She goes, I don't know what's going on with your father. I said, oh, I thought maybe something health. He goes, what? I said, what? He goes, I came home from the sisters' meeting, and he was vacuuming. That you do not understand the proportion, the great proportion, what that statement means in my family. For, you know, our culture, that's like, that's women's work. You know what I mean? And he was, okay. And I'm like, I just had a, okay. Some months later, she goes, something's going on with your father. I said, what, Mom? He goes, last night, when we finished dinner, he took his plate to the sink. And she thought this was like a miracle. And I thought, could it really be the Lord's humanity that somehow, maybe he's reading, maybe he's praying, I don't know, but the Lord is, okay. Then the clincher, some months later. Well, this is actually now, early 1992. So this is 3 years later. She says, we're driving home. She goes, something's going on with your dad. I said, what? You know, he doesn't go to be with those people in the Bronx anymore. That was a miracle. That was his kind of church life, you know what I mean? Like his social life. So he was the one responsible for opening and closing. And so I didn't know this because I would see him leave and then I go to the meeting. So I figured nothing's changed. But she told me, no, now he goes, opens the door, sets up everything, and then comes home and gives the key to somebody. And then on Lord's Day afternoon, he would go pick it up, make sure everything's clean, set, and then come home. So I thought he was still going. But he was not participating in the dancing, in the drinking, in all those things. The divine life was working in her, unbeknownst to us. If you are in the dispensing, you will become Jesusly human. So one time, right after that, my mom was, but when are you going to preach the gospel to your father? So then I felt, I probably should tell her. So I said, okay, Mom, I'm going to tell you something, but you need to relax. I said, he got saved 3 years ago. I said, what? I said, yep, I led him to pray in my kitchen 3 years ago, and I told her the story. She's sitting, she just started hitting me. She says, how could you keep this money? How could you, my greatest joy, how could you keep this? My mom had never in her whole life been so angry with me as that night. I said, okay, and she, it would hurt, you know? And I'm like, Lord, I said, but you gotta not say anything. You have to promise. She goes, okay. The two of us were, you know. Mom, really, I'm serious. She goes, I know. And we're like, you know, don't say it. Okay, so the woman kept it for less than a month. So anyway, one Mother's Day was coming. Now it's May. So it had been almost exactly 3 years, April 26th. And it's Mother's Day, right? Which is what, the second Lord's Day in May? And so we live, I was on the second floor, And they have a basement apartment, right? And then I hear yelling from downstairs, Ricky, Ricky. I thought my father had a heart attack. Ricky, Ricky. And she running up the stairs. He told me. I said, what? So, Mother's Day card. I said, what are you talking about? He told me he's a Christian. I said, how? And she says, look. The card said, I thank God for you. So she gives him the card. Anyway, I can imagine. She gives him the card, probably give her a little peck on the cheek, and she goes, I want to ask you something. This says, I thank God for you. Do you really thank God for me? He goes, yeah. And then he walks away. No. I mean, do you believe in God? And now he's starting to get annoyed. And he says, yeah, of course I believe in God. And he starts walking away. And she goes, no. What I mean is, do you believe in Jesus? And he goes, now he's really upset. He goes, of course I believe in Jesus. And she goes, ah! And she runs up the stairs with the car. He told me. But, okay, well, that same weekend, actually, my mother-in-law passed away. That same weekend, on Friday. That's my Calgary story. I think the saints are here. They remember that. I had to leave. And so Lord's Day morning, we drive to the Lord's Day meeting, and my wife wanted to go a little bit late to the meeting on purpose, not to be flooded with, just go to the meeting. And we were going to leave early. The memorial is that day. So we get to the meeting hall, we're coming in, usher opens the door. Oh, Sister Rebecca, we're so sorry about your mom. But Brother Ricky, praise the Lord. What? He says, praise the Lord for your father. I said, what do you know about my father? So he got saved, right? I said, yeah, but how do you, I said, well, your mother just announced it. In the middle of the Lord's table meeting. So after like two or three hymns, she goes, he got saved. So now I'm thinking, oh no. Oh, the pressure's gonna come. But I gotta give it to the woman. The Lord graced her not to say a word. Not to invite, not to prod, not to anything. That's when Willie came the first time. The second time. And visited, and just the drawing to the saints. And so after that, we had a conference in Atlanta, Thanksgiving. And I was going to drive down with my family. You know, that's a stretch, 15, 17 hours. And my mother was coming with us because she wanted to go to conference. And about a month ahead, he goes, hey, I hear you're going to Atlanta. I said, yeah, we're going to the conference. He goes, can I come? I said, well, sure, but, you know, we're going to a conference. He goes, yeah. Okay, so I figured, okay, our little one was still preschool, so I figured maybe it'd be a help. He can stay in the room and babysit. Well, we went to the conference. Brother Lee was speaking, you know, the Thanksgiving conference. He went to every meeting. And he never missed a meeting after that. Lord's Day meeting. He was in every meeting until he passed. He just, I want to go to a meeting. You don't have to do anything. And you understand? The dispensing works. The dispensing has an issue. Jesusly human. Christ, Christ as our indwelling life enables us to live a life that is absolutely for God and for God's satisfaction, our living becomes a reproduction of the human living of Jesus typified by the burnt offering. Saints, F is very important. F is the practical burden. We all need to spend an adequate amount of personal time with the Lord to have affectionate, private, and spiritual fellowship with Him in our spirit so that we can be filled with His loving essence for Him to shepherd others through us and so that we can be filled with His shining element for others to see Him in us. I am so burdened for this point, saints, of our, as believers, spending time with the Lord personally. And I don't know what anybody's experience is here, but I do know that so many of the Lord's children, so many among us, struggle still with this matter. Struggle to have the consistency, and then when you have the consistency, to have the quality. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's because that is exactly what Satan wants to sabotage, to hinder the Lord's return. Your 10 minutes of personal time. You may think it's not a big deal to miss it. It's not a big deal to waste it. It's like, oh, well. No, it's not oh, well. It is a big deal. That will bring the Lord back, spending those times with the Lord. And so, from my study of this matter, and I have been actively studying this, evaluating this for myself and for how to help the saints, actually for now more than 35 years. And in the ministry, looking to see the helps, and we have a lot of helps in the ministry. But you have to apply them. And we have the books, the publications, but you have to apply them. But through my study, I discovered this, and I've mentioned this before here. The number one obstacle is the wandering mind when you're spending time with the Lord. You're trying to focus on the Lord, and distracting thoughts come. And it could be anything. It doesn't mean it has to be sinful. And most often it's not. Sometimes because of a dream, and you had the dream because you saw something the day before, and yes, you have to confess that. But most times it's just about your day. It's just about your life. It's just about the people around you. Or you can't let go of that offense. Somebody offended you and you can't let it go. And that's where you think about it the most. And you're trying to spend time with the Lord. But it could just be, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, wait, today Wednesday? Oh, I have a doctor's appointment. I think I'll change it. I think I'll go tomorrow. What's my schedule? Let me check. Yeah, 3 minutes. You're only going to spend 10 minutes. Already, 3 minutes sabotage. Then you, oh, Lord Jesus, amen, Lord, I love you. And then, okay, you have 1 good minute, maybe 2. And then another thought. I wonder how that brother's doing. And 30 seconds, and the mind. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. And so we set the mind on the Spirit. Our problem is our mind becomes unset very quickly. So we have to learn how to train our mind. And it's possible to train. It's possible that your spirit can be your strongest part. You know, most often we depict the three parts of man this way, right? Right? The body, the soul, and the spirit. This is from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. That's the two-dimensional view. Spirit, soul, body. But if you take this and flip it and make it three-dimensional, it's like this. You understand what I'm saying? When you look down this way, it looks like this. So your spirit is heading up your being. But sometimes we're not like this. Often, I was being gentle. Most of the time, we're not like this. Most of the time, we are soul, spirit, body. So when you look at me, you don't see spirit. You get my point? Now, it's worse if you are this. Oh, my goodness. That means what? All we see is your flesh. And there are people like that. So we need to learn how to strengthen our spirit so that our spirit, my spirit, is my strongest part. So when the thoughts come, I've learned to apply 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take captive every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I just claim the word. So I say, Satan, no, not today. Not today. And I just stay. Because I recognize. Now, I didn't learn this in a day. I learned this in a decade. So it takes time. But the more you practice, the quality of your time with the Lord will increase minute by minute. So if you're spending 10 minutes with the Lord, it's good to have at least 8 quality minutes. Of course, if you really want to learn this, it's best to spend half an hour. We had a group of college students. This was 1987, January 87. We had a 3-week college conference, very different college conference. We had 18 students. And this was not at a camp or this or that or, you know, they just came local. And they would come on Monday night, we meet, and we shared principles with them. And then Tuesday through Friday mornings, we met from 8 to 12. And the first half, the first 2 hours was this. This was the centerpiece of this conference. The last half of the morning, we read some publications together, had fellowship. But the first part, they would come, everybody pray, we'd wait until everybody arrives, and then we would give them 2 verses and a hymn, maybe 2 hymns. And we'd send all 18, plus us brothers, everybody go to a different room in the meeting hall and practice being with the Lord for 1 hour. Setting your mind back on your spirit, coming back. Because the thought process was this. If we want these young people to spend 10 quality minutes with the Lord, you have to give them an hour. Because 50 minutes is... And that came to be. I tell you, during those 3 weeks, my experience in personal time with the Lord, it jumped. I got the most benefit. And then we tried this a few times with different groups. It's wonderful, saints, to practice. When you can, set aside a longer time. And so we had testimonies like this. Our meeting hall is not like this. We had big meeting, and then we had these movable dividers, you know, walls, and you can hear, you know, they're supposed to be soundproof, they're not. And so I'm here praying, and I can hear in the next room, oh Lord, you know, like this. So then the second hour, we come back together, and then we just sit in a big circle, said, how was your time? And we didn't want to hear, well, I enjoyed John 1:1, that the Lord is the Word. No. We want to hear, what did you do? How did it go? When your mind wandered, how did you call it back? How long did it take? What works for you? And then the next one. Oh, we all got perfected, especially by people's mistakes, by the things that didn't work, because we all realized. We all experienced the same thing. Remember one of our sisters over here last night? She gave a precious testimony that she went for opened up fellowship, and she didn't get an answer, but she realized that sister she talked to sympathized with her. She realized, wait, I'm not the only one who goes through this. It, just that, like the Lord, you had the fellowship, the flow again. We all go through that. That happened that time. I realized I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one. But how to call back? So, anyway, how was your time? One sister says, well, I was trying to pray, call, but then this brother in the next room, he starts calling, oh, Lord Jesus. I said, oh, he's too loud. Oh, and she got offended at the brother. And so, so many things. We're in the children's meeting rooms. I know you have a lot of rooms down. This is a very good hall for that exercise. You have a lot of these little rooms all over the place. So your sister was walking. Oh, Lord Jesus. And, oh, in the corner, cobwebs. Oh, and then she realized how dirty this room was. So she went to the supply closet. She got a ladder. She got it, and then she cleaned the whole thing. You may say, oh, sister. No. She was going to pray in this room for the next 3 weeks. So she de-distractionized. You understand? I don't think that's a word. But she de-distractionized this room so that tomorrow, that's not an issue. Actually, we have a publication in one place. Brother Lee talks about this. It's important where you pray so that you make this place distraction-free. He talks about this. Okay, another sister. We're in the children's meeting room. She's walking, pacing. Oh, Lord. Oh, I didn't know Faith is in this class. Oh, who else is in this class? Oh, Tommy's here. And the kids with the pictures. 6 minutes. Then she hears the brother. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? So many things. You just get distracted. One sister, I remember, said, the map of the Old Testament. I didn't know that Dan was up there. Wow. 3 minutes. We learned all these things. What a benefit. These were college students. I tell you, today, when I look at that roster, I think 15 out of those 18 are in the church life today. Many of them. Pillars. Not all still in New York, in different places. The Lord gained those young people. At least one of them I know is one of the leading ones in the church in New York with us, serving with us, one of those college students. We need to learn to spend adequate time with our Lord. Amen. Okay, G. G is a very sobering point, saints. The humanity of one who serves the Lord is safeguarded, this is the key word, safeguarded, through his loving the Lord. Our loving the Lord keeps us in the realm and sphere of Jesus' humanity. If we do not love the Lord, we lose the restraint that comes from his attraction, and we are liable to do anything and everything. So this means when we're in the dispensing, we become Jesusly human, his reproduction, his sons, the Lord's, the Father's sons expressing the Father. But if you're not no longer under dispensing, it's possible to degrade, to degenerate, and you lose that safeguard of proper humanity. And that's why even Christians can do anything. They can lie. Terrible things. Don't be so surprised. I know when I was a young believer, I thought, no, how? I don't understand. How? Okay, I started to learn a little bit. This brother, I don't know why, and I don't say it as a judge because I could be next. But I learn. I've grown up here, and I observed who goes on, who stays, who goes. It's the Lord's mercy, I know that. But I've kept my eyes open since I was 14. And I saw something changed with that brother. Something changed. I don't know behind the scenes. But it must be the dispensing, his receiving of the dispensing was interrupted somehow. Again, I don't judge I'm not the judge. I can't judge. I need mercy on that day. You know, James says, the judgment is without mercy to him who shows no mercy. James 2:13. So, no, I'm not judging the brother. Like I said, I could be next. I need a lot of mercy. So, that's not for me. But I observe and can learn. I can learn the lessons so that I don't repeat the history. So, brothers, we should just observe and keep ourselves safeguarded in the love of God. Keep ourselves. Here we have two examples, these two verses. It's both in 2 Timothy 4:10, 4:14, 4:10. For Demas has abandoned me, having loved the present age, and has gone to Thessalonica. Can you imagine? A co-worker with Paul. And somehow, toward, you know, Paul, this is where Paul is saying, we need to love the Lord's appearing. And then he mentions to Timothy, his young co-worker, learn this. I think Paul was with the same heart that I'm speaking this. Timothy, be careful. Demas left us because he loved the present age. Can you imagine? One of the co-workers with Paul, drawn away by the world. Drawn away by the world. But it happened. So don't think you are necessarily an exception, that we're so strong. Say, Lord, I need you. I need to keep myself in your love. Alexander, then Paul goes on, 14. 2 Timothy 4:14. Alexander the coppersmith did many evil things to us. The Lord will recompense him according to his works. This Alexander was probably someone who at one time was close to the Apostle Paul. And Timothy knew this person. And Paul's warning him, be careful for that one. He did many evil things to us. Did many evil things to us. How could someone change? Oh, I've learned through the years. Some people change. Some people change. But I also learned, don't ask how. And don't ask why. When a man changes, a man changes. I don't know. That's too much for me to figure out. But that's what it is, saints. If you start, if you delve into, and then you actually, possibly, rumors, you'd be open to rumors. No, don't do that. That's a way for the enemy to snare you. You know, I said before, you can't avoid turmoils. Things happen. And we want that they wouldn't happen. And may the Lord cover you all in this whole area of the country, that things wouldn't happen. But saints, things happen. You just can't avoid it because the enemy's attacking. And people change. And I could be next. So be careful over me. Open to, don't align yourself with any person in that way that if somehow they're off, that would draw you away. Be careful. I've seen too much through the years. But this doesn't mean be suspicious of people. This just means keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. And learn lessons. As you're growing up, as you're maturing, just learn lessons. So many. I don't know how. It's with a broken heart. I say, so many of the ones who shepherded me, perfected me along the way. But somehow they're not here anymore. I don't know why I'm standing here. Better than I. Surely better than I. I don't understand. But, Lord, touch me. Don't ask so much why, how. It's in the Bible. You have examples in the Bible. You have examples in the Old Testament. Plenty of examples in the Old Testament. Our responsibility is to say, Lord, keep me by your mercy. I don't judge anyone. I don't, Lord, I would never judge anyone. But Lord, keep me by your mercy. Keep those around me to have the purity for yourself. And Lord, keep us to accomplish your goal in this age. Do I have time for, yes. We have time for grace. Romans 3. In order to enjoy the eternal blessing of the triune God, dispensing himself into us, we need to enter into and keep ourselves standing in the grace of Christ, which is the triune God, as our enjoyment. Day by day, we need the Lord to open our ears and cause us to hear the words of grace proceeding out of his mouth so that we can experience the Father's gracing us with his grace in the Beloved and can give grace to those who hear us. We need to enjoy the descending dew of the grace of life in the church life to keep ourselves in the genuine oneness for the gradual building up of the body of Christ in the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. So here, the application is grace in two aspects, a personal aspect and a corporate aspect. We need to enter into and keep ourselves, please notice the way Romans 3 says, not just keep ourselves in the grace, but keep ourselves standing in the grace. I don't know how many of us have this impression. This is from Romans chapter 5, verse 2, that says, through whom also we have obtained access by faith into this grace. This is not just receiving grace. This is entering into grace in which we stand. You know, Peter has the same expression, stand in the grace. You know, grace is not just an element we receive. Grace is a realm in which we stand. And surely when you're in the realm of grace, you get graced. You know, I shared this recently somewhere, and one of the brothers gave a testimony. I never heard grace as a verb. But we are, you know, it says in Ephesians, he has graced us in the Beloved. What does that mean? That means the dispensing of grace. In the Beloved, that's in the realm of grace. When you're in the realm of grace, you are getting graced. We don't have that language too much. Suppose you're at home having a little discussion with your beloved spouse. All of a sudden, the temperature starts to rise just a little bit. The decibels of the talk get a little higher. The children in the other room perk up. And now you realize, I'm not in the grace anymore. Stop, just stop. Return and stand. It's all good. Just come back. You can come back to the realm of grace. You get back to the realm of grace exactly how the first time you entered, which is how justification by faith. You just confess your sin. You just confess, Lord, cleanse me with your blood. Oh, back in the grace. Saints, the lights here and at home, in the car, at work, at school, all the same. The same energy is reaching there. This works everywhere. That's personal. Point B talks about the church life. Oh, dear saints, the dew is in the church life. One of the saints shared before about the dew. The dew is not rain. It's quiet. There is an atmosphere in our church life that is full of the descending dew. And you know when we have that? When there's oneness. So always do everything to maintain the oneness. That starts with us brothers. If we brothers are in a sweet oneness, we're loving one another, that'll pervade the whole church. And our church life will be full of grace. And we'll have a situation where all the saints are being graced because the brothers are standing in the grace together. I think this is our reality. What we need to do is keep ourselves. Keep ourselves. Amen, saints. I'll stop here. We have a little extra time. There's a few more points. Yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life,
and my soul at last.
works. Yeah. Anyway, you can ask Manny. 5 years ago, I was somewhere else. But here I am because the dispensing works. Yes. I am not the same person. I just enjoyed all the sharing. And there's one thing that one of the brothers always says in the meetings. When we come together on the Lord's Day, we calibrate each other.
Yes.
You know, so this is really a two-way fellowship, horizontal and vertical. Amen. Vertical, horizontal. Because the dispensing works, but we need each other to keep each other in the flow.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for the dispensing.
Amen.
I was going to share something about time in the church life, but Ricky sparked a lot of memories. But one of the things that I realized is that the only reason that we're really here is God is full of mercy.
Yes.
And His mercy is a keeping mercy.
Yes.
And He also gives us a preserving grace. I can remember just going through some of the confusing things. They're not designed to blow you away. They're just designed to open you.
Yes. Right.
If you open, dispensing will happen.
Because
that's God's only interest.
Amen.
To dispense Himself a little bit every day.
Amen.
Especially in the hard things. The difficult things. The confusing things. And we all have them. What an interesting economy.
Amen.
Brother Sherry, I think a couple times, Brother Ron, he shared that when we open to the Lord in those times that we don't know how to open to the Lord, the very difficult times, those particular times are more valuable. And the Lord can gain more of us than we gain Him.
Amen.
For those, I don't know if you could recall that, hearing that, but that stuck with me. Yeah, you just need to come in.
Amen.
Those times, it's so valuable.
Amen.
One of the things that struck me in the message was the matter of wrestling.
Yeah.
And the fact that when Jacob wrestled, he was in a position that was face to face, toe to toe, and when you're grappling, you can't get any closer than that. You're right there. You're breathing one another's breath. You're eye to eye. And there's an exchange that happens. Some years ago, I was in Christianity. I was having some troubles. I went to a Christian psychologist, and part of his therapy was he said, "Come up, come with me. Let's go out in the hallway." He took me out in the hallway. And he says, "I want you to take your hands and put them right here on my hands, and we're going to wrestle. I want you to push." So he's about, I want to say 6'3", 6'4". I'm barely hitting 5'8". I'm like, okay. So we went hand on hand, and we began to push back against one another until we were really pushing, and we pushed for some time. And he was breathing, and that was it. And he called it quits, and we went back in the office. He said, "I'm surprised at how strong you are for your size." And But something transpired between me and him. There was a closeness. There was that wrestling, that moment. We connected somehow. I don't know how to explain it other than we wrestled. And I feel like right now I'm wrestling with the Lord. There's an issue. It's been building up for probably a good 15 years. But now a man appears to me and he's wrestling with me. And he won't let me turn away.
Amen.
He wants me to be eye to eye, hand to hand, toe to toe. At some point, I think he's going to touch my strength.
Yeah.
But he's encouraged me, don't turn away.
Yes.
Let me enter into the struggle with you.
Amen.
Let me stay with you. You stay with me. And the dispensing, I'm encouraged that in this meeting, what I'm hearing is that this dispensing can still happen. I haven't been perfected yet. I'm still struggling, and it may go on for a while until the Lord does something. But I'm not going to let him go until he blesses me.
Amen.
And here's the other thing. I can't let go, because if I do, I'll hit the ground. So stay in the wrestling with him.
Amen. He will never let you go.
I enjoyed the illustration earlier given about the guy with full of blue paint. That's like the Lord. He's in the business of dispensing himself into us. And I was just, I thought the illustration was so poignant and so helpful to our experience, because, you know, you could come and shake someone's hand, be very formal with the Lord, and yeah, you get a little paint, you know. You could be, we want to be like this verse in Deuteronomy instructions. We want to be one to cling to him.
Hey,
love. We just love our Lord, you know, listen to his word, right? We get more paint, right? But then sometimes in our situation, just like Jacob, the Lord ordains situations, and we need to tell the Lord, Lord, you know, my natural reaction to this situation is struggling and so tasteless, but I'm going to turn to you, Lord. Lord, I want you, in wrestling, I would be, I want you to cover me with pain. I want you to bless me utterly.
Amen.
You might be struggling with my kids rocking back and forth, you know, up in that area. But Lord, paint me. Paint
Amen.
Me while this child is crying.
Amen.
Paint me while this customer is crying. Paint me, Lord Jesus. The paint ain't worse.
Amen.
Amen. I'll stand up after that.
Yeah.
Standing in grace. And I can paint him. Probably every day on my Facebook account. I post videos on Facebook, and so this painting of, you know, this dispensation isn't just for us, it's for everyone around us. And guaranteed 80% of us have a Facebook here, right? And this dispensing is meant for the lost ones. Jesus wants to throw these lost ones on his shoulders so they can rejoice in heaven. And I guarantee you there is one lost one on your Facebook that is just waiting for beautiful words to come out of your mouth. You know, it's a mercy this day and age that we live in. You know, in 30 AD, they didn't even have toilet paper. You remember in 2020? You couldn't get a roll of toilet paper for $20. So I just encourage you to dispense.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to be here.
Amen.
On the dispensing.
Amen.
I'm so thankful to be here today.
Amen.
I see a lot of young people tonight. They're in the right place.
Yes.
Under God dispensing.
Amen.
God is so rich.
Amen.
You know? And he loved us first.
Amen.
So we're not better than others. We need to get God's mercy.
Amen.
And we pray to the Lord, keep us in your dispense.
Amen.
All the dispensing make overcome this situation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for God's dispensing.
Amen.
And we have a God who speaks. And we receive his life.
Amen.
I'm so, what a mercy myself today to be here.
Amen.
In the church life.
Amen.
Receiving this dispensing.
Amen.
And this dispensing will make us survive in this world.
Amen.
And make us to the near Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for all the young people today.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so thankful that we can be here today. Especially under this dispensing.
Amen.
God, only God in time is to dispense himself into us day by day.
Amen.
And I have been very touched at this point, the dispensing. And as we see in Deuteronomy, these verses here, that we need to listen to his voice,
yeah,
holding fast to him, for he is our life and the length of our days.
Yeah.
And we'll just touch last night about, the brother was speaking about, we need to know God's word. If we don't know him, the only thing we know if we live the Lord or not is yes and no. But if we abide and be under this dispensing of the Word of God, the Bible,
yeah,
we learn how, what our situations and what we go through, that the Lord is speaking to us.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to be under this dispensing.
Yeah.
And especially, I've been really touched, we need to have personal time with the Lord so we can get to know the Lord. If we go through things or things come across us, we understand because we know God's word.
Amen.
So we need to be infused and dispensed with his divine life.
Amen.
Our God is love, and love is the most excellent way to be anything or do anything.
Amen.
And I was really appreciative of the point about love and how do we develop this love? And it's through our spending time with the Lord. And the best time to spend time is in the morning. And for me, I like to sing. And a lot of times the Lord just went, even before I get myself out of bed, there's a song already that's coming up.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I remember this, there's a brother, he shared that sometimes the Lord, this is his wake-up call. Sometimes the Lord already puts a song in you.
Yes.
And it's up to you to obey and go to your hymnal and use that as a springboard to converse with the Lord.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
But it's really sweet. How like the anyway, I just want to encourage you,
yes,
you all and me.
Amen.
Encourage us to just keep loving the Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Lord, amen. Oh, praise the Lord for his love. Amen. I was just really impressed with this matter of, you know, spending time with the Lord, a personal private time with the Lord. You know, we're talking about the blue paint. You know, this is a wonderful, wonderful example. You better get that blue paint and spend time with the Lord. Amen. I like this idea of, you know, even dedicating an hour so to get 10 minutes of quality time. The Lord can paint, you know. You know, and the fact is that what this does, too, is that God only gives us this blue paint that can spill on people and dispense to people, but also makes us Jesus the King.
Amen.
You know, I remember when I was a teenager, you know, the Lord took he spent a lot of time to get me to come to him in the first place, and then come into the church life. It's a long reminder about that. The thing is, praise the Lord, he never gave up.
Amen.
He had lots of mercy.
Amen.
That's what it said. But so I'm a teenager, and my dad and I are working, so we're all dressed like dads, you know, done hard work, right? And so we're there, and we're going down the road, and our truck breaks down. Here we are, two men, right, who dress like that, like working people, right? So there's no way, and we're just a little out in the middle of nowhere. There's no way anyone's going to pick this up. But his man did. He turned around and picked this up. I thought, oh, praise the Lord. He didn't say anything about the Lord to me, but you know what? And there I am, you know, thinking, oh, who's the Lord? Where's the Lord? That kind of thing. But on his dash was a Bible. And it was a well-worn Bible. So this man spent a lot of time, you know, in the Lord. And so, praise the Lord, that really struck me. But this is the kind of man stopped to pick up two dirty, grown men. Who's going to do that? But he did. So praise the Lord, Jesus, we humans.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Hour by hour.
Amen.
Moment by moment.
Amen.
This is God's only goal in time.
Amen.
And I just feel like I got infused with an appreciation for what happens, what transpires when God has this opportunity to dispense himself into us. We got a vivid illustration today. Part of our brother sharing about a man who didn't even do all the things you're supposed to do as a believer. He didn't read his Bible. He didn't go to the meetings. It's hard to say he did anything. But the Lord got in. The dispensing got carried out at least one time. And you, over time, could see the result, a change in his being. Something of this. Jesus' humanity, his divinely enriched humanity, got into our brother's father and affected a change.
Amen.
How much more can this happen to us while we're in the church life?
Amen.
The enemy is working overtime to distract us, even to discourage us. But this word strengthens us to believe in the dispensing of God's life into us.
Amen.
If we would just give ourselves to spend quantity of time with the desire of quality time with the Lord.
Amen.
We just have to believe dispensing works.
Amen.
This is the divine revelation.
Amen.
God went through a process to get himself into us.
Amen.
And this life is working.
Amen.
Working out his expression. You know, not only do we get distracted, we get discouraged, right? We pass through all kinds of things where we just want to give up. I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't be it. But somehow, Lord, I'm still here.
Amen.
I believe in his dispensing.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I want to cleave to you.
Amen.
Believe in your dispensing.
Amen.
The only goal in time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Today, in the name, in the time of, if you need a password for everything, it's
Jesus!
Amen.
Praise the Lord for Jesus!
Amen.
It's my password!
Amen.
Praise the Lord for God's dispensing!
Amen.
You know, I was touched by time. Last night, Ricky had two, between these two ends, time is cast.
Yeah.
You know, there was a little line there. I realized God created time for a particular reason.
Yes.
And we are in time.
Right. Right.
And how much of our day do we spend managing our time, right?
Yeah,
to be someplace at the right time, or there's a management that you have to do. But he realized in God's eyes, there's only one thing.
Yeah.
He has only one thing that he is interested in. And I just appreciate that we would have the same mind, right?
Amen. Amen.
To redeem the time.
Amen.
It says right here, we need to spend adequate time.
Right.
We have time, but we need to spend it, right?
Amen.
How should we spend it, right? To redeem the time, to be in God's dispensing.
Amen.
Anyway, just if our mind can be renewed a little bit.
Yes.
And I was touched here, you know, about what is adequate time.
Yeah.
That's different for each one of us, right? It could be different. But there needs to be adequate time for that dispensing to take place. Because I was also touched in point G that nothing's guaranteed, right? If we don't, it's not a warning. But we realize that dispensing does something to us.
Amen.
And if we're not in the dispensing, you know, there's things can draw us away.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, we need to be sober. But on the other hand, we realize that we can be in dispensing 24/7, right?
Amen.
It never stops. It's unceasing.
Amen.
And it never runs out, right?
Right.
Amen.
A couple of things the last couple of days, but the adequate time is the time you spent.
Amen.
And if you spend adequate time, it may be 10 minutes now, but as you keep spending adequate time, it may get to be 20 minutes. And you spend adequate time, and pretty soon you're up to an hour spending adequate time with the Lord.
Yeah.
But you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
The other thing that I really appreciate it, but this lost sheep got found,
Amen.
Put on the shoulders of the shepherd, and taken to the cross, and fully dealt with so that he could be dispensed into.
Amen.
I spent a long time in two denominations when I was a boy at the same time. My mother was one, and my dad was the other. But they were all lost sheep like me. There was no real shepherding. There was no really caring. It was all a social group. It was all social. But then I got separated from that by something that happened in my life. And I told the Lord, Lord, if this is you, I'm done. I don't want anything to do with you, not now, not ever. Don't ever come back. And I was 18. And for 11 years, the Lord just stayed right with me. Because I was hooked. And he wasn't going to let me go. And then I got saved and eventually brought into the church life. But I am so appreciative of his patience.
Amen.
He is patient enough that no matter where you are, just tell him how you feel.
Amen.
Tell him how you feel. He wants to know. He knows how you feel. But he wants you to tell him how you feel so that he can take care of you and shepherd
you. Amen.
Amen. God's only goal in time is to dispense himself into us day by day.
Amen.
Saints, we need to read our Bible.
Amen.
We need to confess our sin.
Amen.
We need to spend a personal time with the Lord.
Amen.
It says, blessed are those who wash their robes.
Amen.
Right? Saints, it's his mercy. It's his mercy that any of us are here.
Amen.
Not one of us is deserving of anything.
Right.
And I just, wow, praise you, Lord,
amen,
saving us.
Amen.
Saints, we need to keep ourselves in the dispensing.
Amen.
To keep ourselves in the dispensing is to keep our love fresh for the Lord.
Amen.
It's by thy love I live.
Amen.
It's by the Lord's love that we have this love.
Amen.
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 Are there any announcements we need to make?
If there is one here.
Yeah, so for the college age people here, we have some events going on today. We reserved a volleyball court at Easter. It's going to be at the Eastern Washington University Athletic Complex from 4 to 6. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have dinner singing at the Apollos with everybody. If you need to add your free to reach out to John or come up to me after.
Amen. Okay, we'll have the next meeting will be at 10 o'clock. We'll have the breaking of bread meeting.
Amen.
And after that, we'll continue with the